feeling about the economy, your retirement, your real estate, your insurance, your overall financial game plan, if you have questions that keep you up at night, listen up. I've got a lot to talk about. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Greg O'Donnell Financial Hour. I'm Don Bastida. Thank you for listening today. Greg has been helping people just like you protect and grow your wealth in a personalized manner for over a quarter of a century. He's self-made and your financial coach. He's live, he's local, he's independent, and he's your trusted financial advocate. And he's here to help you with your money. Call Greg with your questions now or anytime after the show, 866-499. 866-496-2300. Greg can help you with your investments, your retirement, your financial planning. He can also help you with a mortgage, a home equity loan, or finding a realtor. And with your insurance needs, long-term care insurance, or insuring your nest egg. Greg's company, the O'Donnell Financial Group, is a full-service financial services company. He's local and independent. That number again, 866-496-2300, or email Greg. Go to the website O'Donnellfinancialgroup.com.
Looks like you want to go out to the phone lines.
Yeah. Dion tells us we have a caller out there. It looks like Steve. Why do you need a financial advisor?
Well, I purchased some property for my business a few months back, and I tied up some of my retirement fund to purchase it. And I replaced that. My question is, now that you're talking about refinancing, I do own a piece of property in San Francisco that I'm currently renting. I do have a line of credit on that, which I also use to purchase my property for my business. My question is, can I refinance my property in San Francisco, still keep my renter there, and pull the money out to use for my purchase of my property that I just purchased for my business?
Yes. I mean, it's fine. So what I would say is that since the property in San Francisco is an investment property, in the mortgage industry, we would call it a non-owner occupied property, you're going to pay a higher interest rate because it's an investment property, so you're not going to get owner-occupied rates. Remember that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac are governmental, quasi-governmental agencies that were designed, developed by the government to help
establish
housing and making it affordable and having, you know, certain standards there. But an investment property is going to be at a higher rate, somewhere between a half and maybe 0.75% higher, depending on the type of property. If it's units, you'll pay a little bit more. If it's a single family residence, you necessarily won't be paying more for units, but you will be paying more than an owner occupied rate. I would tell you to talk to your CPA about the strategy, because he's going to have to paper trail this. So what you're saying is this property in San Francisco is free and clear with the exception of a line of credit, which is tax deductible. But if you're going to take money out of a property that's more than what you own line of credit, then he's going to have to paper trail this transaction and apply that interest, that your interest rate charge that you're going to be paying and hopefully trying to write off against this new investment that you made. So keep good records, because your CPA might, you know, pull his hair out on that. But yeah, you can definitely do that. It's your equity. It's your, that's the thing that oftentimes I always, it's a head scratcher to me. It's your money. You don't have to give justification necessarily to an institution as long as you qualify for it. So again, take control of your assets and drive the decisions. That help?
Great. Thank you so much.
Not a problem.
Contact you.
Yeah, please do it
for us more. I appreciate this. Thank you so much for your advice.
Not a problem.
Yes.
866-496-2300. That's 866-496-2300.
And Gene, why do you need a financial advisor?
Thanks for taking my call. You brought the subject about children running your life. I'm 81 and my wife is 78. We live in a two-story house here in the East Bay. They want us to sell the house because of it's too big for for us, they say, and rent someplace. So we can net out of the house, net $1 million.
Okay.
And if we go looking for, we went looking for a house to rent, and in East Bay, they're like $3,500 to $5,000 a house. Well, not a house, an apartment or a duplex, whatever. And we live in our home now. It costs us about $2,500 a month. Pay maximum $3,000 to live here. How do I get it? But see, the problem is it has stairs. And I'm 81, and they're worried I'd pull down the stairs. And
right.
Worried about this. And they mm-hmm. say, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. So what do I do with $1 million?
That's a great question. You know, that's going to be a function of how are you investing that? And though it's going to come down to a conversation with you, your wife, and your heirs. What really is most appropriate? Do you take that $1 million and you try to create an income to cover your costs in there, so that you're now positive with that? That would be the starting point. But I think you need to have a holistic conversation with you, your wife, and your children, because they're right. So, you know, we never think it's going to happen to us, but stuff happens, and falling down the stairs makes sense, or that fear of that happening does potentially make sense if I was your child. So I at least applaud them for starting the conversation.
So I'm looking at the board here. I see Tim is holding on. Tim has a question about interest rates on loan. Tim, why do you need a financial advisor?
Well, I just have a question. Greg had mentioned that if the interest rate goes up, the prices of housing should drop. And I was kind of thinking, well, is that necessarily a bad thing here in the Bay Area? If you got to pay $3,000 a month for a small house, why not have the interest deductions and have the price be lower and the interest rate be higher, or what? I don't know.
Well, I didn't say that the prices would drop. I mean, when you're talking about interest rates, I mean, if you have too few dollars chasing or cheap dollars chasing too few items, then the cost would continue to go up, and you're going to have that stagflation situation. Your comment, your concern is, well, if real estate prices come down, it's going to make it more affordable for people. Because, yeah, if interest rates in theory went up 1%, how many tens of thousands of people would no longer qualify? It's much easier to qualify at 3.5% than it would be at 5.5%, 4.5, 5. When I got in the business, my first 30-year fixed rate mortgage was 12.5%. So it's going to be a big difference. What I think would happen when you have interest rates if interest rates were to rise that dramatically, you would have banks coming out with new products. You'll see a loosening of standards, because no one wants to lend money at 3.5% if they were telling us the truth. That help?
Yeah, I guess so. I have to kind of play it over in my mind. And another question, these high prices in the San Francisco Bay Area, what's sustaining it? I mean, everybody's flipping burgers. I mean, who's buying these properties?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, if we stop and look, in as reported by the Marin Independent Journal, the median price for a home in the Bay Area was up 8.5%. Prices for single-family homes increased in every county except Napa County. Marin was up 13%. San Francisco was up 8.6%. Contra Costa was up 7.4%. Sonoma County, 6%. Solano, 5.8%. Alameda, up 5.2%. San Mateo was up 4.9%. Santa Clara was up 3.7%. And Napa was flat. The median price of a home in Marin is $1.2 million, a record high. And I would probably suggest that San Francisco is not that far behind that, as well as San Mateo County. And who's buying them? Well, it's going to be a combination. I mean, the markets have performed really well. They've been flat the last couple of years, but people who are earning more, because you have big corporations that are really spending shareholder dollars, mm-hmm. paying people large amounts of money, stock options, buyouts, mergers and acquisitions. It's creating wealth for people. A client of mine's company just got taken over by a major pharmaceutical company, so it's their options will vest. They're going to cash out. There's opportunities in that. You're also having the people who are maybe downsizing. You know, if they're up a couple $1 million in their home and they may want to downsize into a different location with maybe just a $1 million home, pay cash, and then they're sitting on money. No different would be when it comes to refinancing. If your home's gone up 10, 15, 20, 30, 40%, 100%, take some money out of your house, reposition your equity. It's your equity. Remember, the value of a home's going to go up based on the value of the home, not necessarily how much equity you have in the home. So again, it's people are taking advantage. People are listening to guys like me who can help you on a holistic way and repositioning their assets. They're looking at the whole big picture. But I would agree with you that restaurants are packed nowadays. People are going out. So there's a lot of people working in restaurants right now.
I think a lot of us out here are looking at the booming tech industry, the biotech industry that's, you know, so successful here in the Bay Area. And we think it's all of them who are working in those industries that are pushing the prices up on the homes. And I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's just kind of my vision from, you know, standing back looking at it.
Right, right. Now, and you very well could be correct on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I haven't necessarily dove into the calculations. I know that people are beginning to make smart decisions with their money. The refinancing isn't necessarily as easy as it once was, mm-hmm. but if you can save yourself $100, $125, I mean, hell, $50 even in my mind, $50 is worth something to some people.
$50
a month, correct. Okay. It's all about repositioning. If you can save money and put it into a fixed cost for the next 30 years, you're now beginning to control your costs. That's what businesses do. Businesses try to control their costs. If you're a homeowner and if you can control your costs by refinancing, fixing your mortgage for the next 30 years, and that savings allows you to pay for your current homeowner's insurance rate or part of your taxes or whatever that is, you begin to start controlling your costs. And then as we look at things as financial planners, you have a core. Where are you now? How are your costs fixed? And then how can you get something like long-term care insurance? Does proper risk management make sense for you? Are you allowed to take on more risk because you need a better rate, greater rate of return over time? What does it allow you to do over time? That's the important component of everything. So understanding where you're at today, understanding where you want to go, and then moving forward with that. So make sense?
Again, our number is 866-496-2300. Coming up, Greg has more on your retirement, your mortgage, and your insurance. 866-496-2300. You're listening to Greg O'Donnell on the OD5 Radio Network.
Be one of the next 10 callers and receive Greg's complimentary portfolio review. It's CPR for your financial life. Call 866-496-2300 now. Join the O'Donnell Financial Group and the Veterans Memorial Golf Tournament Committee of Lafayette at the 11th Annual Golf Tournament in support of wounded veterans on Monday, October 17th. Come support our wounded veterans and enjoy a beautiful day of golf at the Moraga Country Club. Proceeds from the tournament go to support severely injured veterans recovering at the Palo Alto VA Polytrauma Rehabilitation Center. This is one of only 5 centers in our country, and they not only work to mend our veterans, but also support service family members. Come be a part of this patriotic and worthy project that has raised over $335,000 over the past 10 years. For more information on the October 17th Veterans Memorial Golf Tournament, contact Jerry Sullivan at 925-253-0471. That's 925-253-0471. Our veterans have made the sacrifice for you, and now you can support them in their time of need. Call Jerry Sullivan at 925-253-0471. Come make a difference in the lives of our veterans. Help secure the future of your loved ones by locking in a mortgage or refi at today's low rates. Greg O'Donnell has no-cost jumbo home loans up to $3 million, 30-year fixed rate at 3.75% or at 3.625%, no points, with a lender credit. Greg's local, personal, and independent, and has helped people like you for 30 years. Call for a no-cost, no-obligation mortgage quote at 866-496-2300 or at O'DonnellFinancialGroup.com. Licensed by the Cal BRE number 00971579 and MLS number 298004. Not all applicants will qualify. Rates are subject to change. Know before you owe.
The goal of our team at the O'Donnell Financial Group is to work with you individually, create the best financial plan in your estate planning, in your retirement planning, in your tax planning, in your investment planning, and in your risk management. Want to learn more? Stay tuned.
You're listening to Greg O'Donnell. If you have questions about your money, your retirement, your mortgage, or your insurance, give us a call. Our number is 866-496-2300. That's 866-496-2300. And Greg, I see we have a caller on the line. Gene, why do you need a financial advisor?
Yeah, hi. I'm just wondering if you're in retirement and you have a taxable account, what's the best strategy for taking monthly income and whether to put your capital gains in the fund and reinvest them, or to take the capital gains and put it like in a money market fund or some other kind of a device?
Well,
what would you recommend?
So I'm making an assumption here that your allocation is made up of one fund, several funds?
Several funds. It's like 60% stock, 40% fixed income.
So if you were going to take money out for distributions, do you have a slice of your allocation that's earmarked for cash and or bonds?
Right. What I would be doing is trying to figure out, how much I needed from that account annually, and then divide it by 12 and just give myself a monthly.
Well, that's a good starting. That's a good starting point, but that may not work for your fund families. The distributions of dividends is going to happen based on what the prospectus indicates in there. So you should know what that's going to pay out. You could always turn off your dividends from being reinvested and have them sent to you. And then after doing that for 3 months, 6 months, a year, you'll know what's flowing through that. And then you could always supplement your income by doing a systematic withdrawal out of your cash account and or out of your bond account, because those are generally going to be paying on a quarterly basis. And then you may have to adjust your cash flow on a quarterly basis, knowing that your money's going to come in on a quarterly point. So that way you'll have a reserve in your checking account, if you will. But that would be how I would possibly approach it. The challenge with funds are that you're dealing with a fund manager who's managing a fund.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't managing for Gene. Isn't managing for Don or Dion or Greg. He doesn't really care. He's managing for return, because that's how he makes money. The better he does. He doesn't care about you. He's not going to care about tax efficiencies. That's why he may sell right before end of a quarter for window dressing. So it's a totally different approach to it. Very efficient way of investing, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but you've got to be aware of their business model, and does their business model really benefit you? That's why we tend to believe, or we tend to lean towards individual equities or individual ETFs, because they can be sliced and diced differently. An ETF I'm talking about right now,
mm-hmm.
they may have the diversification or look and feel of a mutual fund, but it trades much more like a stock. So intraday, you can make adjustments to your portfolio when you need this money. And again, we customize things at O'Donnell Financial Group to help our individual clients, so that when this situation, Gene wants to say, I need X amount of dollars, we can plan for that. We can manage for that. Different approach. Makes sense?
Virian, why do you need a financial advisor?
Yeah, I need to know about how to buy stock because I've never bought any before. But I don't need to do it for any retirement. I don't need to retire. I'm working on an invention, and I just, you know, I keep hearing people talking about money, and I can, you know, start working on putting something away to get the ball rolling, is what I should say.
And that's a great question. I mean, it's, you know, to get started, there's many different ways you can approach getting started with the investing. I would probably recommend that you go to one of those discount grocery stores of investments, a Charles Schwab, a TD Ameritrade, a Scott Trade, an E-Trade. Hell, you could even do one of those robo sites out there because the robo sites are just, in many aspects, a glorified E-Trade account, and that'd be a good starting point for you. You don't have to invest for retirement. You can invest in equities, the stock market, as I like to call it, to make money. We live in a capitalistic society. So, again, that would be the goal of why you'd want to start investing, because you want to grow your net worth, your personal net worth.
And someone who's starting out like Virian, are they better off trying to buy individual stocks, or should they try to buy something like a mutual fund or an exchange traded fund, something that is a pool of investments?
Yeah, I mean, if he were to go that route, an individual stock is going to carry more risk because you have that individual stock risk. So a fund, whether it's a mutual fund or an exchange traded fund, is going to offer greater diversification. Then the question comes down to, what is Virian's risk tolerance out there? How much risk is he willing to accept? I mean, if you're willing to accept, for example, over the next 6 months, up 40 or down 35, if that's acceptable, that would be someone who might be an aggressive investor. But if they're okay with that, because in his situation, he wasn't doing it for retirement. If he's doing it for greed, then that might be an appropriate way of him starting to create some diversification. You know, he may want to buy an individual stock because he likes its particular product that that company makes. People can approach it in many different ways. But he needs to understand who he is, and he also needs to understand that once he starts investing, he in theory could lose it all. But it looks like we've got a caller right now.
Do you want to take it now, or you want to take it after the break?
Whatever Dion wants to do.
Dion says now.
Dion says now.
Dion says now. All right. So I see Danny, you're on with Greg O'Donnell. Why do you need a financial advisor?
Well, I was wondering, if a neighbor has a house that he's put on the market for sale, and it's way under market value. All of the houses are over $1 million. It's like $850,000. It's got the most beautiful view, and it's a beautiful house in top shape. And he just wants to sell it. Is it possible for another neighbor like myself to flip it and sell it to somebody before he sells it, and then make some money without a real estate license?
Yeah,
or is that impossible?
You could buy something. You could buy it from the neighbor, then sell it to somebody else down the road, and you would be, if you sold it within 12 months, you'd be paying ordinary income tax on that gain in there. We wouldn't need a real estate agent per se, unless you don't know what you're doing when it comes to selling property. But I would recommend that you'd get a real estate agent, but there'd be nothing that would preclude you from buying a house and selling it if the dominoes were lined up, so to speak.
Well, that was my next question. I suppose I talked to a real estate company.
I'm sorry you broke up there. Say that again.
I said that was my next question. Suppose I did take it to a real estate company and sell it to them.
We might be confusing the terms. Generally speaking, when I think of a real estate company, I'm thinking of a firm that wants to represent buyers or sellers when it comes to selling real estate. You could go to a real estate investment firm. Someone like that might be interested. There might be a real estate agent per se out there that would be interested in buying the house from you because it was such a good deal. But in that example, why wouldn't you do it yourself? If you have an insight on something, then I would would think you'd want to move forward. In terms of financing, you'd have to, if you wanted to buy it, if you couldn't afford to pay cash for the property, just know that most lenders would require somewhere north of 20% down. The best pricing is going to be 30% down, and obviously you'd have to qualify for that. So definitely something that you could do. And if I didn't hear the question properly, maybe we can talk off camera.
On the phone, after the show. Danny, thank you for the call. Again, our number is 866-496-2300. Coming up, Greg has more on your retirement, your mortgage, and your insurance. 866-496-2300. You're listening to Greg O'Donnell on the OD5 Radio Network.
The next 10 callers to 866-496-2300 will receive Greg's complimentary portfolio review. It's CPR for your financial life. 866-496-2300. Call now. Do you have junk you need hauled away, a garage cleaned out, construction debris, or do you just simply have too much stuff? Then contact your local family-owned Think Pink and Green Junk Removal. Think Pink and Green Junk Removal will pick up and haul away your junk and recycle those items. That's the green in Think Pink and Green. So what's the pink? Think Pink and Green Junk Removal will donate part of the proceeds from every job to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Clean up, help the environment, and fight breast cancer at thinkpinkandgreen.com. To get a free estimate, go to thinkpinkandgreen.com. Thinking about real estate? Are you searching for a mortgage? Why not call Greg O'Donnell now and get a no-cost jumbo home loan up to $3 million, 30-year fixed-rate mortgage at 3.75%, or no points with a lender credit at 3.625%. We've been telling you about the great rates Greg O'Donnell's been offering. And right now, Greg's also offering a 10-1 jumbo adjustable rate mortgage at 3.25%, no cost. If you're looking to refi your home or buy a new one, then Greg is the guy you should call. 866-496-2300. Get a no-cost, no-obligation mortgage quote today at 866-496-2300. Greg is local, personal, and independent, and he's been helping people like you for 30 years. Call Greg O'Donnell at 866-496-2300 or online at O'DonnellFinancialGroup.com. Licensed by the CalBRE number 009-71579 and MLS number 298004. Not all applicants will qualify. Rates are subject to change. Know before you owe.
Academics have long theorized that at the empty nest stage, parents have more disposable income and have set up their retirement savings. Has it worked out for you that way? According to a new study, that extra savings doesn't happen, or at least not to the extent researchers have predicted.
And you're listening to Greg O'Donnell. If you have questions about your money, your retirement, your mortgage, or your insurance, give us a call. Our number is 866-496-2300, 866-496-2300. And that is what Cuz did. Cuz has a question about insuring principal. Cuz, why do you need a financial advisor?
Hi. What I'm looking for is a sort of a bond fund which has principal insured. And one of the bond funds that I looked at is called IIM. It's the Invesco Group's bond fund. And the reason why I'm looking at it is I feel that even if Fed raises interest rates, the bond prices will come down. Interest rates might go up. But I think it's a short-term interest rate raise. It's probably not going to be sustainable. And so with that hypothesis, I want to invest in a bond fund for maybe a three-year duration. But I wanted to understand what a principal insured bond fund means. What is that? Is that a downside protection measure, or what does that mean?
Well, I think you're going to need to look at, it's a broad question. You're going to need to look at the prospectus for the actual guarantee. If I'm understanding that portion of it, I'm assuming that there's some type of insurance component in there. But remember that when interest rates go up, in theory, the value of the underlying bond could decrease in value. The shorter the duration, the less the volatility is going to happen in there for you. I don't track that particular bond fund, so it's always difficult for me to comment on it, nor should you really be listening to anybody on the radio giving specific advice when it comes to a particular fund or stock, because you don't necessarily know how they're playing it. So it's not a fund that I'm tracking at the current time, so I wouldn't want to misspeak without doing a little bit of research, similar to our financial, our complimentary financial review with people. We ask you to fill out a questionnaire, send in your statements. We're going to put in 4 to 5, 4 to 6, 4 to 8 hours of research trying to analyze things so that we're better prepared to have a conversation with you, a complimentary conversation. So from that standpoint, I'm going to stay away from that. The prospectus should be able to tell you everything you, or the prospectus is required to tell you everything that you need to know. And depending on where you're planning on purchasing, because let's face it, you found an instrument that you plan on purchasing. So whether you're going through, you know, a grocery store of investments or a particular broker, they should be able to explain that particular product and why they are recommending it. So whether it's, you know, a Scottrade, E-Trade, a do-it-yourself house.
But also based on the rest of your portfolio, you know, where do the bonds fit in as an investment?
Well, in his situation, it sounds like he's making more of a speculative decision. I see interest rates going up for the short term. I'm looking at a bond fund. So a bond fund in itself, as opposed to a single instrument, a single bond will have diversification across many different bonds. Right. So you'll minimize or diminish the volatility in there. But he has a very specific timeline of when he planned on purchasing it. He was looking at duration,
three years,
meaning everything was, he was going to get his money back, or all the bonds they held would be paid off within 3 years. And then in 3 years, he could look at doing something different. So that's more of a timing. Again, timing works. Timing the market works 2% of the time in theory. That's what asset allocation has taught us over time when we look at the Markowitz hypothesis. So again, it's just that balancing act of how you want to put it all together. And I guess I should share this with everyone. Asset allocation or diversification seeks to reduce volatility of a portfolio by investing in a variety of asset classes. Neither asset allocation nor diversification guarantee against market loss or greater or more consistent returns. Past performance does not guarantee future results. So
thank you. And Greg, we have a caller on the line. It's Alan. Alan wants to ask about paying down a loan. Alan, why do you need a financial advisor?
Hey, I want to ask your opinion on whether paying down a mortgage is, what conditions are ideal for paying down a mortgage? Because I get conflicting information from other, from listening to other financial shows. And I can't make up my mind whether I should or not.
Well, it's a perfect example. You probably have a very unique situation. So obviously you have enough money to pay down the mortgage. So, but are you able to make the mortgage payment on a monthly basis?
Oh yeah, easily.
So what's the motivation for you to pay it off early?
I'd like to retire or change careers at 59 and a half.
Okay.
And so I don't really want a house payment. I'm probably going to take a salary level that's like literally 75% cut. But it's something I want to do.
Okay.
I'm willing to do.
Okay.
And so, I just don't want a house payment.
Okay. So there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, the balance is emotionally, is this in your best interest? That's how I look at it. If you're telling me you're going to take a 75% pay cut and you have the ability to pay it off, that's fine because you're taxable. What's your tax base right now? What tax bracket are you in? 15, 28, 39?
Probably around 33, 35-ish in that area.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to be dropping down to 15, then and you have the money to do it, and that's going to give you peace of mind, give you greater balance, then that's fine as long as you can do it that way. The advantage of owning a home or having a home with a mortgage on it is that you can take advantage of leverage. But if you're not taking advantage of it, you're not investing properly, then it goes out the window. You're going to get tax benefits out of it, but it's not necessarily right for everyone. You know, that's kind of the challenge. And before the Great Recession happened, you had a lot of people out there promoting taking all your equity out of the market or taking all your equity out of your home and then investing in the market, and that didn't do anybody any good. So if you have that, I call it the FU account, where you can just walk away, then that's in your best interest to do that. Do what you want to do. If you're going to be 59 and a half and you're going to follow your passion, which is this new career, then go for it. The next question in my mind would be, how are the rest of your investments structured so that you can make sure that you'll be able to maintain this same lifestyle that you're accustomed to throughout retirement, taking a 75% pay cut? That's what the question is. Oh, that makes sense.
And it does make sense to me. I think, I love the idea of somebody getting to a certain age, getting to the retirement age, and then saying, you know, hey, I've got this passion in life I want to follow, but I'm going to have to take a pay cut to do it. I've done everything I want to do up to this point. I've got this house. I pay it off. I may not have the expenses anymore, so right. I'll be able to do this.
Right.
I think it's great, but it definitely depends on so many other factors.
So many different other factors. And this is something that Liz and I are considering. We have an investment property.
Mm-hmm.
It's cash flowing for us. We have the money in the bank. I said to my CPA, what would happen tax-wise, because I'm in AMT, mm-hmm. I have AMT tax issues, what would happen, or how much tax benefit am I getting by having this mortgage right now? Because we're getting down to the very end of depreciation on it. Okay. And he goes, okay, based on what's going on, you're getting $250 a month tax write-off out of this. The payment's $1,600 in this example.
Mm-hmm.
So if I paid the property off, I lose $3,000 in tax write-off, but I gain $20,000 in cash flow. So you have to look at it from every angle. Yes, you're getting a tax write-off, and yes, it's saving me $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of the conversation is your cash flow. My cash flow,
which you're getting in rent from the property.
So my rent that comes in every month, mm-hmm. $20,000 of that every year goes to make a mortgage payment. If I eliminate the mortgage payment, I have $20,000 more coming in, but I lose $3,000 a year in taxes. So I gain $17,000 a year. There's a benefit.
Sure.
Now, one could argue, but you'll have this money that you could invest. You're investing in the market, but how much do you need? That's where it comes down to the strategy conversation. In our example, in our situation with Liz and I, well, we're in good financial shape. You should have a financial advisor who's in probably better shape than you are financially, because how else would they be advising you, right?
That's true.
You know, I mean, and this is another subject that comes up. What do you do when you find out that your financial advisor has filed for bankruptcy, whether it's today or in the past? Is that the type of financial advisor you want working for you if they can't even manage their own affairs? The list of questions, the list of things that, I mean, when I had 10 appointments this last week, the stuff that comes up that people put up with.
Right.
And if it isn't Wells Fargo, it's financial advisors having bankruptcies that they're not disclosing to people. I guess I'm going on a rant.
Yeah, a little bit. Do what Alan did. Give us a call. The number is 866-496-2300. Coming up, more from Greg O'Donnell on the ODFI Radio Network.
Get your complimentary portfolio review. Be one of the next 10 callers and receive CPR for your financial life. Call 866-496-2300. The phone lines are now open. Attention all veterans and service members. As part of his mission, Greg O'Donnell works with the Department of Veterans Affairs to help you in your dream of owning a home. Contact Greg at 866-496-2300 to learn more about VA loans. Greg is local and independent, and he's helped people just like you for over 30 years. Call 866-496-2300 or visit odonnellfinancialgroup.com. Licensed by the Cal BRE number 00971579 and MLS number 298004. Not all applicants will qualify. Rates are subject to change. Know before you owe.
That's Beyonce you're hearing, the song Single Ladies, obviously, and I'm playing it for a reason.
And what reason is that?
Researchers at the Housing Finance Policy Center of the Urban Institute, and I'll say that one three times fast, released a study last week that shows that single women are the second largest group of home buyers in the marketplace. Listen up, single men. I have more from that study.
Thank you for listening to the Greg O'Donnell Financial Hour. Greg is here, and you can call him with your questions. 866-496-2300. 866-496-2300. Or you can email us. Just go to the website, O'Donnellfinancialgroup.com, and click on the big red box that says Talk to Greg. And remember to like us on Facebook at the Greg O'Donnell Financial Hour. Follow us on Twitter at ODFI. That's at ODFI. Or you can find Greg on LinkedIn. Just search for Greg O'Donnell.
The study showed that single women are the second largest group of buyers of homes, with 15 to 20% of all home purchases in recent years. Single men, by contrast, have accounted for about 9% of purchases since 2012.
And is that what you're seeing locally?
Well, the study also, I don't know if I would say it that, I don't have any stats on that.
Okay.
I haven't seen anything. Yeah, I'm assuming you haven't either.
I have not.
Yeah. You know, what's popping into my head is, we talk about the financial, the pay quality. Obviously, if we're having a larger percentage of women buying, is the question that comes up in my mind is the quality that really far off? But then again, it could come down to the fact that men are just knuckleheads at times, especially single men. They have other priorities, whereas these single women may be starting their nesting cycle a little bit sooner. I mean, that would be my thought. The study also showed that single women are statistically better at paying their mortgages than men, which was interesting. They default less often, yet they get charged more for their loans and are denied credit more often. I'm not sure how that is with all the how they're getting charged more on their loans, because when it comes to interest rates or mortgages now, with all the regulations, I tend to believe consumers are paying higher rates because everyone has to be treated the same when it comes to it. Mm-hmm. Banks price the loans the same way, and mortgage operations price it the same way. So how is it that they're being charged more? I'm not sure on that, unless it's because of the type of loans that they're taking on. And they have lower incomes on average than single men. They tend to make larger down payments, according to the study. So again, that's contradicting some of my basic thoughts with it. Maybe we need to dive a little bit deeper into this.
And married buyers, they're still number one.
Yes, but it's falling. Married buyers at one time were more than 80% of the market, but that has declined over the past several decades. In 1985, married couples made 81% of all purchases. Last year, it was 67%. And unmarried partners, according to the study, were just at 7%.
Well, I've got a mortgage story for you.
You got a mortgage story? Okay.
I want to tell you this story. So, I got married a little less than a year ago.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
We're finally starting to put
water's warm.
Water's still warm.
Water's warm.
We're putting together our finances right now.
Okay.
Okay. So I walked into my local Bank of America because I wanted to set up a joint checking account.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there, I'm giving him my information, and he says, "Oh, your mortgage is with us." I said, "Oh, yeah, you're right. I do have a mortgage with Bank of America. Got it from you like 10 years ago." And he says, "Well, you should look into refinancing because we have some great deals." And I'm thinking, all right, what can you offer me?
Right.
Can you save me money? I'll listen.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to they give me to their mortgage specialist.
They walk you down the hall, nice young man down the corridor, so to speak, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yep. His name is Chris, and he's sits down with me and he asks me all the questions, right? How much do you make? What's your debt?
How's your credit?
Right. Yeah. All of those questions. Yep. And I'm completely honest with him. I give him all that information.
Yep.
And he says, "Okay, great. Well, based on all that, we've got this great mortgage for you. It's going to save you $280 a month." And I'm thinking, great.
Great.
Sounds great. What do I do? He said, well, you need your tax returns. We need your pay stubs. We need everything.
Two years tax returns, 3 months of bank statements, copy of your driver's licenses.
Okay, so yep.
They want to see your mortgage statements.
I'm pretty well organized. I have everything together always.
Because you've been listening.
Because I've been listening to you for several years now. And so it takes me roughly an hour to put this all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that, and I send him all the documentation. The next day, I get an email, and he says, sorry, we can't do this. You don't make enough money. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, are we off by $1,000 a month, you know, $10,000 a year, something like that? Mm-hmm. He says, no, you're off by double. You need to make double what you make right now in order to get
this loan. This loan that's going to save you money.
Now, here's what...
And they hold the loan already.
Yes, they have the loan already.
They have the loan already.
Here's what upset me about that. Is I was sitting in his office, and I was honest, and I gave him all my information, and he could have told me right there in his office that I needed to make twice as much money in order to do this loan. He had all my information.
Right.
So either he wasn't being honest with me while I was sitting in his office, or he didn't know what he was doing.
Very, very likely. And my first thought is you got somebody who's fresh off the boat, somebody who's fresh out of college.
Right.
And he hasn't been properly trained. And he doesn't know what he's doing. He didn't have the confidence in himself to give you the proper guidance.
And what I should have been doing, of course, is just talking to you.
Talking to Tony, talking to the team.
Right.
But then again, it's illogical. As a consumer, it feels like, well, I've got my mortgage there. They're going to save me $300 a month. They should be able to just write the note and do it that way. But now, if there's a question regarding your income, they don't want to help you. They want to make sure they can continue to make more off you as opposed to helping you.
And you think he probably had a quota of how many of these things he had to run through the system?
Well, we know what happened at Wells Fargo. Yeah, I guess the question is you might want to find out if whether or not you had an account open for you that you weren't aware of.
I have to check that out now.
You know, and it's disappointing. Again, too big to fail. Large corporations aren't in it for you. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Why don't you quickly give us a rundown of rates? Are they how are they doing right now?
Well, rates are great. Rates are great. We're still below 4% across the board, especially on the jumbo loans up to $3 million. So I think it's a great time to give us a call. In about 15 minutes, I know my mortgage professionals will be able to give you that honest answer that you were looking for.
And I'll be there to ask him.
866-496-2300. 866-496-2300. Matt or Tony will get back to you and give you that honest evaluation in about 15 minutes.
So give us a call. Coming up, more from Greg O'Donnell on the ODFI Radio Network.
Call now to receive Greg's complimentary portfolio review. 866-496-2300. This offer is only available to the next 10 callers. 866-496-2300. Call now. You want that house, but the bank won't give you the loan, or they only want to give you a rate that's higher than what you've seen advertised. Why not give Greg O'Donnell a call? Greg is local, personal, and independent, so he's not tied down to just one mortgage loan like you find at the banks. He's been helping people like you for 30 years. Call 866-496-2300 for your mortgage or refi. 866-496-2300 or go to O'DonnellFinancialGroup.com. Licensed by the CalBRE number 00971579 and MLS number 298004. Not all applicants will qualify. Rates are subject to change. Know before you owe.
Thank you for listening today. If you called in and we didn't get to you, please email us by visiting our website, O'DonnellFinancialGroup.com. The number to call to schedule your personal complimentary portfolio review is 866-496-2300, and that number works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And remember, we have convenient, local, independent O'Donnell Financial Group locations for you in the Bay Area. Wherever you are, there's an O'Donnell Financial Group location near you.
To deal with the volatility and uncertainty that comes with a presidential election. Sure bets drop out. Remember Howard Dean?
Or Gary Hart?
Long shot candidates surge to the front?
Like Bernie or Donald Trump?
Every election comes with plenty of surprises, and uncertainty in the 2016 election is no different. I field a lot of questions from clients and friends about how politics and elections affect the financial market, so I thought I'd take some time to answer some of the common questions and concerns. I'll start by discussing the common concerns investors may have about the election this year. Gallup, the research company, polls Americans on a variety of issues every month. I'm looking at a chart that shows what Americans think is the biggest problem facing the country today. What do you think it is?
Well, following the media, I think it's Colin Kaepernick taking a knee.
Yeah, well, the Gallup research shows the economy is on the top of many people's minds, followed by dissatisfaction with the U.S. government. Also, the list on the list are unemployment, the federal debt, race relations, immigration, and terrorism. The election is on the list, but towards the bottom. A separate study by the Hartford Funds found that 61% of people surveyed felt the market or that the election would lead to more volatility, while 29% of people felt it would have no effect.
So that's how people feel. But what does history tell us?
Well, you know what? What I like to say is that past performance doesn't predict the future, but it does rhyme. We can learn how markets have behaved around elections in the past. For example, despite some volatility, election years have historically been positive for the stock markets. If we look at the performance of the S&P 500 in 14 elections since 1960, we see that in 12 of those 14 presidential election years, the S&P 500 has ended the year positive. In just two of those years, 2000, 2008, stocks have ended negative. This information also comes from Hartford.
And I remember both of those years.
Well, they are hard to forget. And the dot-com crash in 2000, the Great Recession in 2008,
right.
Neither of the events had anything to do with a presidential election. Some people say the markets can predict the outcome of the presidential election. That's one way. There are also polls that statistical analysis, tea leaves, you name it, it's out there.
Right.
So why do people say the stock market, why do people say about the stock market, it can't predict the presidential election results? According to Bloomberg, since 28, the markets have called 19 out of 22 presidential elections.
That's significant.
When stocks are higher the months before the election, the incumbent party has won 86% of the time.
And why is that?
Well, it's a lot of possible theories. Maybe it's because Americans tend to vote for a party in power because they're feeling good about their financial prospect. Maybe they tend to want to change things when things are going badly. Now, that's not to say that it will happen in this stock market this year, predict the election results. No, but it's a fun idea, though. Maybe down markets spur investors into voting to the other party. It all depends on who the investors think will do a better job. We'll certainly see. And next week, we'll look more on historical comparisons with the market in election years. Don and I will be back next week right here, same time, same station, and we'll be talking about what's important to you. We're going to be talking about your money, your investments, your mortgages, and your insurance. Have a safe, happy, and financially prosperous weekend. I am Greg O'Donnell, and we'll continue to work together to achieve financial independence next week right here on the ODFI Radio Network.
The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this station. You should consult a financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence and base all financial decisions on your specific and unique situation. The show is furnished by O'Donnell Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Greg O'Donnell is a principal of O'Donnell Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Mortgage services are offered through American Pacific Mortgage, BRE number 01215943, NMLS number 1850. American Pacific Mortgage, O'Donnell Financial Group, and O'Donnell Financial Services, LLC, are unaffiliated.
Yeah. Attention all veterans and service members. As part of his mission, Greg O'Donnell works with the Department of Veterans Affairs to help you in your dream of owning a home. Contact Greg at 866-496-2300 to learn more about VA loans. Greg is local and independent, and he's helped people just like you for over 30 years. Call 866-496-2300 or visit odonnellfinancialgroup.com. Licensed by the Cal BRE number 00971579 and MLS number 298004. Not all applicants will qualify. Rates are subject to change. Know before you owe.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
This is Talk Radio 560 KSFO, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, a Cumulus station.